if I keep coming back to Jesus at the center of my life and making Christ the center of our marriage, then we will be able to endure the storms and celebrate the victories that we have all along the way.
Welcome to Biblical Counseling in Action. I'm Steve Byers, and this is a podcast that addresses questions like, how do these principles penetrate every facet of local church ministry? What does it look like when biblical counseling starts to impact the youth ministry, or our ladies' Bible studies, or our men's ministries, or the way leaders function together, or the way decisions are made in the church? What does it look like in the lives of everyday church members who have been trained, or maybe who have been counseled, but now they're continuing to live out these principles in everyday life? That's what this podcast is all about. Welcome back to Biblical Counseling in Action. Today we're talking to Dr. Rob Green. And Rob does so many things at our church. He's the overseeing pastor at our Faith East campus, which is a full job in of itself. But he also teaches Greek and New Testament in our seminary, and he's overseeing our Faith Biblical Counseling ministries right now. That latter role is going to be transitioned to another one of our staff in the next year or so. But I really appreciate Rob. I appreciate all the ways he serves around here. And one of the ways that God has blessed me is just by giving me such excellent, excellent staff members, such excellent staff member wives. I am a blessed, blessed man for sure. So, Rob, thank you very much for just the joy of serving together. How long have you been at Faith now?
I came as an intern in 2001, stayed for 10 months, and then returned permanently in 2005. So this is 19 years now.
Wow. I feel like we ought to give you some sort of a gift, some sort of a crown, some sort of a whatever for putting up with me for 19 years. But again, I'm very, very thankful for you and for your ministry. We're going to talk about one of the two books that Rob and then the second one that Rob and his wife have written. But Rob, I think first of all, if you could just tell our listeners a bit about just how you got interested in biblical counseling and just how you're using it in ministry today.
Well, when I came as an intern in 2001, you know, the Faith way was if you're an intern, you're going through the Monday program.
That's right.
And I didn't know anything about biblical counseling. So I was for biblical and I was for counseling, but I didn't know how those two things fit together. Mm. And those 11 Mondays were radical transformations for us. Mm. Both Stephanie and I were able to attend that fall training because my parents actually drove every Monday to watch our son so that we could attend
together. Wow, that is amazing.
They drove from Columbus, Ohio. So they would come Sunday night, stay, and then drive back late Monday night every week for 11 straight Mondays in order to allow us to do that.
Now, that is an incredible story. I don't think that I knew that. And what a delightful example of mom and dad serving their adult children and grandchildren. I love that story.
We took the training, we were hooked. And especially me, I was hooked. And then I had the privilege of actually starting to counsel right away. And back in those days, we had five sessions Monday.
That's right.
And they were back to back to back to back. And that was exactly the expectation. You now took the training. You are going to be counseling five straight sessions every Monday. And I just had a delightful time learning, growing, making mistakes, but having an overseeing pastor right there with me in order to correct or adjust or help me. And that was such a blessing in my own life. And then when I came back, then I had the privilege of leading the counseling ministry at that point. And so then I was counseling, I was teaching counseling and training others in counseling and have been doing so for the last 19 years. Mm. And now I have the privilege also of chairing our MA in Biblical Counseling through Faith Bible Seminary.
Yeah.
And just what a delight it is to continue to influence those who want to make personal ministry of the Word a vital part of the way they please the Lord.
Well, and it's been interesting and just delightful for me to be able to watch the way the Lord has blessed that ministry. Our counseling ministry has grown dramatically and improved dramatically under your leadership. The Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling through our seminary is just a marvelous, marvelous degree. People from literally around the world, since it's primarily online, take that degree program, and God's blessed your leadership in so many. Isn't it fascinating that your parents drove from Columbus, and now God's blessed that ministry in so many ways. In really a relatively short period of time to go from that to all that God has entrusted to you and to Stephanie. It's fun. It is fun.
And, you know, there's another part of that story that it's even just a delightful piece. Is my parents came and took the training in 1998 or 9.
Really?
They came to the BCTC.
Uh-huh.
And
our listeners may not know, so BCTC stands for
Biblical Counseling Training Conference.
That's the conference we do every February. So your parents came to that a long time before. That's amazing.
And then my mom started praying that my internship, because I was in seminary at Baptist Bible College, yep, and seminary in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania at the time.
Yep.
And so she started praying that I would have an internship at Faith Church.
Is that right?
No joke.
That part of it actually connects back, because I was on campus for some reason. Am I thinking correctly?
You are.
And did I? You were dorm parents.
We were.
At Baptist Bible College. Somehow I had dinner in your house. Is that right?
You did.
How did that happen? Was I just walking by looking hungry?
No. We had started a conversation at that point. And you came to get to know us a little bit and to learn a little bit about who we are and for us to learn a little bit about Faith Church. And
how cool.
Ultimately, that resulted in the internship.
That's an incredible connection with your mom's prayer. Wow, I love that. I love that. Well, hey, let's talk about this first book, Tying the Knot. Tell me, what was it that motivated you to write that book?
Well, there's several things that kind of converged at that time. This is around 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. The first is that we had a partnership with New Growth Press. They were relatively new at that time, and mm-hmm. they were asking us to write a series of booklets. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Giuliani was the contact at New Growth, and Amy Baker and I were the contacts here at Faith. And she would contact us on a semi-regular basis and say, hey, do you have any book ideas?
Of course.
We had many books that we were yep. contracted to write for them, but we didn't have any books, and so that just started the thinking. Then doing premarital counseling, I was struggling to find one resource that I was happy with. Mm-hmm. And so I kept finding myself giving a little bit of this and a little bit of that,
yep.
which made it hard on the people that I was working with, because they didn't have one thing mm-hmm. that they could use and even go back to after their wedding was done. So I started giving some handouts and some writing some things, and that was encouraging to them. Hmm. And I started to wonder, well, maybe this could be encouraging to somebody else.
Yep.
And then in our own experience, Stephanie and I had maybe 3 or 4 counseling sessions. And while we did not have a rough start, we thought, boy, it would have been nice if we had been encouraged by a few of the things that we've been doing now. And then, less importantly, but still relevant, is I wanted to see if writing was an area of ministry that the Lord wanted me to invest time. Mm-hmm. I had no idea whether that be true. And for me, it was sort of one of those moments where I'm thinking, if this happens, it's because the Lord wanted to make it happen. Like, yep. there's no human explanation for yep. this. And not everybody would know, but when I was young, I was in this really odd space. I was in the advanced math classes, mm-hmm. but I was in the remedial English and language classes. So much so that by the time I was in 5th grade, I had a teacher who said to me, why are you still in the 3rd grade reading books?
Wow.
And I said, well, because that's where I've been placed. And she said, I've never met anybody who did a quarter of pre-algebra in the 4th grade who couldn't read. So she just advanced me. And it was such an encouragement to me. And then to think, wow, is it possible to actually write yeah. a book?
Yeah.
From my view, it was like the Lord telling Joshua, go take Jericho.
Right, right.
So it was just a neat story of how the whole thing came together.
Well, and I think there's some takeaways from that part of the story that, you know, thank the Lord for places like New Growth Press. I remember the days when the biblical counseling movement seemed like or was accused of being a one-horse movement. It was all the writings of Jay Adams. And then eventually Wayne started writing and a few others. But there weren't many resources out there other than the things that Jay was producing. And by God's grace, and this is, Jay wanted this. He wanted other people to write. He would challenge people to write. But now you look at a movement that's essentially 50 years old, the number of resources out there, it's just phenomenal. And it's a great, great blessing. The movement is definitely improving. It's deepening. That's what you would expect, but part of it through the number of people writing. But it does require publishers like New Growth and others who are committed to biblical counseling and are committed even from a business model of investing in making these kind of resources possible. And I think that it's highly likely there will be people that are listening to this podcast who might say, well, you know, I've got an idea, I've got some thoughts, perhaps the Lord has taught me some things, but I could never write a book. You just really helped them. Advanced math and remedial English simultaneously. That's only of the Lord. That's only of the Lord. But it is amazing how God is using many men and women literally around the world to continue to develop important and helpful resources, and God's blessing it. God's blessing it. So I love that part of the story for sure. Can you give us just an overview of some of the key emphases of the book?
Yeah, I really wanted the book to emphasize Jesus on every page. Mm-hmm. So that way, people were coming back to, look, I don't know all that's going to happen in my life. I don't know how my relationship with my spouse is going to occur and the various ups and downs that we will face. But if I keep coming back to Jesus at the center of my life and making Christ the center of our marriage, then we will be able to endure the storms and celebrate the victories that we have all along the way. And so everything about, it covers the traditional topics like finances and communication and husband's role and wife's role and those things. But it does so trying to say, what does it look like for Jesus to be at the center of your communication? What does it look like for Jesus to be at the center of your finances? And the goal then was just that their relationship with Christ would grow. And in the meantime, they would find themselves growing closer because they're both growing closer to Jesus. Instead of just saying, here's how to make a relationship work, not knowing all the different circumstances that one may face, it's how do I become more like Jesus so that I'm ready to endure whatever might come my way? And one of the stories I just love was one of our seminary students graduated and then got married. About 2 months after their wedding day, she had her first MS attack. So she didn't know she had it, and neither did he.
Yeah.
But she was so debilitated that she couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't care for herself. She could not do anything for herself for a short period of time, maybe 4 weeks or so. But he demonstrated love for her. Who could have predicted 2 months after their wedding that he would need to care for her in those ways?
Yeah.
And yet he did so. And I think he did because Christ was at the center of his life.
Right.
And so it's, okay, this is the set of circumstances that I have today. And by God's grace, they're doing well. They have a number of children now, and they've been married for, I don't know, a decade or 12 years, something like that. And it's just a delightful story and reminder of when Christ is at the center of everything you do, then the rest will take care of itself.
I really appreciate you saying that. And that goes far beyond even the issue of premarital counseling. It's true of counseling in general, because it is possible to develop an approach to counseling where you start with a topic and you have all sorts of man-made secular ideas about a topic. And then you, well, it's supposed to be Christian, so we're going to cherry pick a few Bible verses and kind of sprinkle it over our man-made ideas. But Jesus isn't in the counsel, and the grand storyline in the Bible is not there. You're saying the opposite. You're going to start with the Redeemer. You're going to start with the King. You're going to start with the hero of the story in whatever topic you're discussing, and then you're going to move out on that platform and basis and talk about various aspects of premarital counseling. So it's really a philosophy of thinking about life. And it's interesting that you say that. Just in some of my devotional reading this morning. I've been following D.A. Carson, and so he had us in the book of 2 Kings talking about some of the end of the Israelite monarchy and the failure of all of that, and also in the book of Hosea and just talking about what was going to happen as a result of the captivity. Carson made the point that look at where we are now in the history of the Bible. We had creation, and by the time you get to Genesis 6, there has to be a flood. It's so bad. And then we have the patriarchs, but we end with the book of Genesis, and they're enslaved. And then we have the period of the judges, and look at how bad that turned out. And then we finally got a king, and now here we are at the end of the monarchy, and it's a disaster again. And Carson's point was, all of that is pointing to the need for a real king, for a great king. We need a savior. We need a messiah. The point of the scripture. That's what you're talking about. But you're saying, when we do premarital counseling, let's not just have a conversation about finances and sprinkle a few verses on, or have a conversation about communication or conflict, and, oh, let's get a little Jesus. You're saying, let's start with Christ, and then let's move out, and any principle is going to be tethered to one's relationship with Christ. What a great book. I am so glad that you took the time to read it with that particular emphasis, for sure. Let's say there's a counselor listening right now. How would that counselor use this book?
You know, I actually included a chapter on For the Mentors.
Oh, is that right?
I did, because I wanted people, and really this flowed out of my relationship with one of our co-laborers, co-workers, Pastor Brent Oakwin, was constantly asking people like George and Bev Moore to do the premarital counseling, and then he would officiate the ceremony. And so I just thought, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who do that. So I want to include something that tells them what it looks like to do this.
Can you back up for a minute and explain to our listeners, George and Bev Moore, why would that be an important part of the story, and how might that affect the church that they're serving in?
George was a professor, still is a professor, of veterinary medicine at Purdue University.
Yep.
And Bev is his wife, and they were such wonderful, still are wonderful servants of the Lord, and became such a vital part of our counseling ministry that would serve on Mondays. Bev was one of my right-hand ladies. Whenever we had a really challenging inside-the-church counseling struggle, and it was going to be either a single woman or a woman coming by herself, she was often my go-to. Bev, would you please take this case? I'll oversee it with you, but if you would do the heavy lifting, that would help all of us.
And so many pastors and or counselors have a George and Bev Moore type couple. Godly people, but could use some resources in order to direct the counseling that they're doing in premarital counseling. That's why you wrote for that particular audience. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
The way I use the book is I give a short, usually 15-minute intro to the material. I ask them to read it, and then there's a series of questions that they need to answer. It's not a lot, maybe 6 to 8 questions. And then we come back and we talk about it. And then we do the next, I'll do a short 15-minute intro to the material. And we do that over the course of about 8 to 10 weeks. And one of my goals, and I tell people this, it's not intended to cover everything. It's intended to be a conversation starter. So you might find that one area or one aspect of one area is really important to them and needs some additional time and attention. And so it's a conversation starter to help you as the counselor do a personal care ministry to them. So the idea is not, hey, let's teach it in a classroom and assume we've got everything covered.
Right.
Let's use it as an opportunity to expose things that we need to talk about.
What about, let's say that there's somebody who's single, they're thinking about getting married. Could there be a space here for them to use the book, just to read it and to benefit from it, even if God's not yet given them somebody that they're dating or someone that they're planning to marry?
Well, the first chapter is Jesus at the center of your life. And so what I say is the marriage is not first about your marriage. It's about your relationship with Jesus. And so, of course, they benefit from that emphasis all to its own. But it's also, I think we all understand the pressures that come during that engagement period. You got invitations to get done, a dress to find, et cetera, et cetera. And so sometimes your ears to hear aren't as open as they might be at a different time.
Well, because you're so busy.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so I think when people get a chance to read the book outside of that premarital time, it actually gives them an opportunity to think about some things that would be helpful to them. In fact, when the book was published, I gave our oldest a copy of that book and just said, hey, just FYI, here you go. And he read it as a high school student.
Is that right? Yeah. I was also thinking about just if there's somebody listening who teaches a Sunday school class for singles, there could be some value in using this material just as a curriculum, or at least a curriculum guide, as a series of lessons for young adults.
I also use it in my young couples class.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like postmarital counseling?
Exactly. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. I do two adult Bible fellowships here at Faith every Sunday, and one of them is called Sunrise. And it's a group primarily made of those who are older than we are. Mm-hmm. And then I do young couples, which would be primarily those who are younger than we are. There's appointment group out of Sunrise. So it's a small men's group that meets at Cracker Barrel at 6 a.m. on Wednesday mornings or something. All the guys would be older than me.
Really?
And they chose to go through the book.
Really?
As a marriage tune-up.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that funny?
Well, you know, Jay Adams used to say, the best thing you can do in premarital counseling is schedule the postmarital counseling session. And that goes right along with what you're saying, how useful it's going to be in all sorts of ways. Hey, you just mentioned to me about the book being translated. So can you tell our listeners, how can they get a copy of this book in English, but then also what's going on in the translation world?
So in English, it's available at Faith Resources, so faithlafayette.org/store. It's also available on Amazon and where people tend to also get their resources. Then it was done in Spanish, and I had asked New Growth Plus to just, if you're not going to do it in Spanish, would you just let me? And we met David Adams, who is in charge of Poema, mm-hmm. and he lives in Colombia and is just seeking to get resources in as many Latin hands as possible. So he worked on translating the resource, and it's available in Spanish through Poema. And then there have been others that we know of. I just saw something come through that it's going to be translated into Uzbek. I don't even know what country speaks that.
Wow.
And I think Romanian was another. So we're seeing the publication world go all over and make resources available in languages that just simply weren't available before.
So what we're talking about is a guy who was in remedial English in fifth grade now has a book that's being translated in languages around the world. If that's not the grace of God, I don't know what is. Well, hey, listen, Rob, thanks a lot for sharing about this today, and I hope that our listeners are going to get this book and read it.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can check out more about our ministry at faithlafayette.org. Or if you're interested in receiving biblical counseling training, go to faithlafayette.org/conferences. You can find these presentations wherever you normally access your podcasts. And you could really help us just to get the word out by telling your friends on social media that these presentations are going to be available. Our hope and our prayer is that this podcast honors the Lord and is a blessing to you.